Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
What's up? Good evening, everyone. I do apologize for the technical difficulties. The intro music is being a little booty today, or the app that we're using is being a little booty. Keith, are you on the line?
Yo, I'm here. What's up?
What's up? It's great talking to you. I know it's been a month, so I do want to welcome everyone back to the show. You know, this weather has kind of been kicking everybody's ass, so I was sick for a little bit, and people just got life going on, but we are back with an amazing guest tonight, so we're definitely excited. Keith, do you have anything you've been up to? You want to tell us what you've been up to in this meantime? Because I know you always have exciting things going on before we kind of get into the hot topics.
I wish, but, you know, just working. I do another podcast, so I've been busy doing that outside of working. So y'all can check that out if you would like to. It's called Life in Hip Hop. Pretty much self-explanatory with my little brother Waze. And, you know, working on this music, man, trying to get things moving. But other than that, you know, just trying to stay low-key, keep my head up.
And I definitely hear that. And if y'all haven't heard the podcast, definitely check it out. If you're into hip-hop music, these brothers definitely have some good opinions, as well as just kind of the hip-hop culture and life in general. So they got some great opinions that I think a lot of people can relate to. So definitely check it out. And
I appreciate
that. Also, I want to send a shout-out to our co-host, Shelly. She's not going to be joining us tonight because she's taking care of Granny. Granny is home back in Baltimore. She is feeling better, so Shelly has some granddaughter duties to do. So we're sending out our prayers and love to our co-host and to Granny as well. So she says she will call in if, you know, she does get a chance. But I did want to send her big love, and we will definitely have her back on the next show.
Much love, Felice and Granny. Good to hear she home. I've been keeping up with it. I'm glad to hear she home. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's always a good thing. We got to take care of our elders, and I can always respect that. So, you know, we're definitely proud of you. But to get started, we're going to talk about a couple of hot topics. I know in the last month, probably the biggest things that have been kind of going around are the elections and the Oscars, Oscars So White, hashtag Chris Rock, all of that good stuff. So we're going to kind of, I want to start off with the elections and kind of hear what you think about it, Keith, or like, what are your opinions? Because I know there's like, amongst my conscious friends, or any even unconscious friends, just amongst my Facebook friends, period, which is a myriad of people, there are a lot of different opinions, and especially amongst my Black friends. You know, I have friends that are like, I'm not voting, fuck the system. I have friends that are, you know, invested in voting. So kind of what you feel about it and what's going on right now, man?
Well, as far as voting overall and in general, I feel like you just have to do what you feel like, do what you feel is the right direction for you, but go all the way. So if you're not going to vote, you know, make sure you understand why you're not voting. You know, make sure that you're just not doing it off of emotion. Like, if you honestly just don't feel like there's a candidate that speaks to you and you're like, look, I'm not going to force a vote. If I don't feel like voting, I don't want to vote because I feel like none of these people have my best interest at heart. Then by any means, do that. But if you decide to vote, don't just vote because people tell you you have to. Be educated on who you're voting for. Understand, you know, what that person is going to bring and, well, at least what they're promising. I mean, you don't know, obviously, you know, they sell a lot of wolf tickets when they're on the campaign trail, but you definitely still want to see what they're talking about and what direction they are saying that they will lead the country in. As far as this election goes, I mean, honestly, I've been Bernie Sanders since I've, you know, done my research on him. You know, I never really was a Hillary person because I know that, you know, she's just not 100. You know what I'm saying? Like, she, excuse me, she tries to act hip and do these things because, you know, that was her husband's thing. You know, Bill was hip. You know, he could play the saxophone. He can go on, you know, talk trash. He was cool. That's not her. Yeah, but that's not her. But you can see she's trying to use that. And then her whole ploy at one point was basically trying to shame women into voting for her, basically almost like, you know, you're a woman. You're supposed to vote for me. And it's like, that's retarded. That's just like Obama basically coming out saying, okay, so you're black, so you're going to vote for me, right? Like, nah, like, what are you going to do? So, yeah, it's just been a circus, though. I don't even like to give shine to the other side as far as the, you know, Republicans are concerned, because all of them are clowns, in my opinion, especially this year. So I don't even like to give them no shine. And I think people waste too much time giving that dude over there a lot of shine. And instead of just pushing who they like or pushing what they believe, they just get this dude shine and keep talking about what he did and why they don't think people should vote for him. It's like you still plastering his name and face everywhere. You're still promoting his campaign, and that's exactly what he wants. So, you know, I'm not even going to acknowledge that, but, yeah, I'm Team Bernie right now. I believe Bernie is for the people, and not just black people. I believe he's for the people in general, the minority who's the majority. You feel what I'm saying? So
yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah. So how you feeling? Who you riding with? Or are you riding with any of them?
I mean, for me, I'm feeling the burn. Like, if given the candidates that I have in front of me, and listening to all of their platforms, Bernie Sanders is what's most appealing to me. Now, I know, you know, we have people that are like, all politicians lie, and they offer these things, and they can't do everything, and I know all of that. However, with what he's telling me with the information now, I can rock with, as far as, you know, education, health care, small businesses, all of that, I get 100%, you know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely rocking with it. I think what's interesting is, when talking or just kind of listening to people, I've heard two different opinions. And I think one, I was watching something, and they were like, who are you voting for? And they were asking people, and the lady was like, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, because that means the Clintons going to be back in the White House. And it kind of made me chuckle, but at the same time, I'm like, y'all know, like, this is not Bill Clinton in the White House. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because they're married, it's not the same person. Nor do they have the same thoughts, nor do they have the same agendas, nor is it the same fucking decade that really that they were in. So the reforms, the laws, what's going on around us, everything has changed. So I just don't think that you can compare the two, but it kind of shakes me up because I'm like, if one person feels like that, how many other people feel like that? And then it also then makes me feel like, well, that kind of makes sense as to why Hillary, you know, is picking up a lot of the South. On another flip side, I was talking to my mom about the situation. You know, I asked her on Super Tuesday, because I live in Virginia, you know, did you vote?
Right.
And, you know, she asked, you know, she looked at me and she was like, yeah, did you vote? And I was like, of course I voted. You know, she asked me who I was voting for, and I told her. She was like, you know, I like Bernie Sanders, but the American people are not going to put him into office. And I kind of sat back and I was like, damn. But at the same time, it's like, that's the same thing that they said about Obama. They call him a socialist as well, and he was in office. And it's some people that hate Obama, but I know plenty of people that have health care now due to him, that are getting assistance due to whatever the case may be, that's been way different than the prior 8 years, than the 8 years that we've been living in. So, you know, for me, I just think it's interesting to watch the opinions and stuff going on. I did see that on Saturday, on Super Saturday or whatever, that Bernie is definitely catching up. So it's definitely exciting to see, and I'm definitely there to watch it. I'm not really going to address Trump, really, because like you said, like, I'm not willing to give him the press on my show, which he's getting on everybody else's show for free, so I'm good. Like, if y'all niggas want to listen to a clown or be there for a clown because he was on TV or you think that shit is cool or sweet, that's fine. But if he's talking about building a wall for Mexicans, I don't know what makes you think you're not next. So,
yeah,
you know,
the problem,
that's
the problem with him. I would say the problem with him, and I'll keep it short, is You know, and I read this somewhere, and it was very true. I forgot who said it, but it was like basically, especially in the urban communities, but even just all throughout America, the narrative of just being rich without the people caring about how you got there, but they celebrate you for being rich. With Donald Trump, we're getting what we asked for, because so many times people get rich off of death. So many times people get rich off the backs of the poor, and we're talking about today, in today's time, whether it be black, white, or Spanish, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like people, and then people celebrate them. So what we got is somebody who has a lot of money, who did a lot of smart things to get there, and a lot of grimy things to get there, a lot of handouts and a lot of underhanded stuff to get there, and he was celebrated up until now. You know, until now, he really wants to flex that power that he's been given because of people celebrating him. Hell, in the rap community itself, we've had like two or three tracks in the last 5-6 years, Donald Trump. You feel what I'm saying?
And yeah, I think it's funny that you said that, because yesterday I was watching one of my guilty pleasures, Housewives, and then I think I was watching one of the after shows, and they showed this rewind clip of Nene and Sheree arguing, and she was like, "I get Donald Trump." Like, she just kept putting it like, you know, like, he got big money, like, bitch, you broke, I got money. But I just thought that was interesting, because it's one thing to look at him as a businessman. Sure, that's great. Like, businessmen can be callous, can have their own opinions, whatever the case may be, but you're trying to run a country, and I don't think that's the same lane. But I'll let you finish your thought. I just thought that was funny.
Basically what you said is that's just it. So we get a taste of what we asked for. I mean, in that regard, as far as him being, he started to believe the hype. You know what I'm saying? He started to believe the hype and then took advantage of people who he knew. Like, this is the perfect time. The Republicans, they didn't want... The people that's going for Trump so hard are the people that hated Obama from jump. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he preyed on them. And then you have those people who just want to get behind him because he's rich. And they want to say, you know, it's a lot of different variants. But it's just sad that we're even at this place where it's actually a reality that he could win. You know what I'm saying? So, but like we said, we're not going to give no shine. We're going to cut the shine right there. And, you know, we can move on. I know you said you wanted to speak about the Oscars. Chris Rock at the Oscars, rather. Did you watch the Oscars?
Yeah. Well, I DVR'd it. And I basically watched all of Chris Rock's parts, for the most part. But my plan was definitely to see the beginning, because I wanted to see what was said. Like, I didn't want to read it on Twitter. I didn't want to read people's opinions with it. I wanted to see it for myself and, you know, just see how it was going to go. And for me, watching it, I will say, watching it, I had a range of emotions, which at the same time, I think that was the purpose of his monologue, at least his opening monologue. And I say this because it was many times I was cheering, like, yes, Chris, you tell him, let him know what it is. And then, of course, there were many times, as we've seen on the internet, where some of the jokes was a little uncomfortable, but I think it was meant to be uncomfortable. What I don't think was meant to happen was for the audience to laugh at those uncomfortable jokes. And
yeah.
I think that's where it kind of got fucked up, but also shows the state of our country. You know what I'm saying? Because the grandma lynching joke was not funny at all. And I like clutched my pearl when he said it, but when they panned in on the audience, it was like one of those like uncomfortable, like, should I laugh? Should I not? Or maybe I should laugh because courtesy. But you don't necessarily have to be courteous.
It was definitely,
you know what I'm saying?
It was definitely that vibe up in there. Yeah, it definitely was. And I'll say, the only thing I did hate about the speech, or I ain't gonna say hate, but I did dislike, was that joke and then what he said about Jada. And the only reason, because I feel like our women are constantly, you know, put down by us. So it was time for him to, even though he didn't do what she did, it was still a time for him to, he could have not acknowledged her personally, but if he did, he could have showed her love and respect for standing up and standing behind what she felt. He didn't have to shit on her like that, because Jada's always been about what she's talking about. You know, Jada, it's not that she just started this. I mean, you can go back to when she was young, and a lot of the roles she chose, you know, a lot of those women would not just, you know, I mean, she did the, I forgot the name of the joint, Woo or something like that. That's probably the most ratchet joint I've seen of her, but she always had something in her. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, this is not new, and she should be celebrated and she should be lifted up, just like all the rest of our black women. So I didn't like that. I didn't feel like she deserved to. You can make fun of Will. Like, just make fun of Will then, if you want to go that route, because he can take it, you know what I'm saying? But don't make fun of Jada. Jada just standing up, like a whole lot of people did. So,
yeah, when I saw that part, I just thought, yeah, I thought it was, like, a bit overdone on that. And like you said, I think I would have left her out of it as well. But I feel like the Academy was like, look, we're going to let you say what you want to say, but this little bitch done said told everybody to boycott our awards. So what we're going to need for you to do for us is X, Y, and Z. Like, you can do what you want to do, but we're going to call Shorty out on it.
Right.
And like you said, I think it was a, like, you could have passed it over, because she's not the only person to have an opinion. Hers was just, of course, more vocal and on a larger platform on top of that. And then
hers
to
was more
go
articulate.
On Will. Yes. And then to go on Will later there, like, multiple times throughout the night, I did think, like, that was a little overdone. And I think after the monologue, the jokes continue to be a bit overdone. Like, I think they could have, he could have done his monologue, went about the show. He could have put stuff in here and there, but it just felt like that's what the show was all about. And it was just after the second hour or whatever, it just felt painful to watch. Because it was like, even at the end of it, like, I was like, nigga, I get it. Like, okay,
right.
I get it. But I don't think these people in front of you get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, even with the Stacey Dash thing, like, all of the black people know about Stacey Dash, but everyone else looks confused. And even if you read the stuff afterwards about it, everyone's like, we don't really know why Stacey Dash came out there, but, you know, we saw later what it was. I think it was in an interview with Chrissy Teigen. She was like, I was confused until John, you know, her husband John told her what it was, and she was like, oh, okay, I get it. So we weren't supposed to laugh, right? And I was like, yeah, no. You know what I'm saying? So I just thought,
and she live in the house with a black man.
Right. Like, even she knew, like, I don't think this is funny, even though I'm not in on an inside joke, I don't think this is funny. But
it
is what it is. I think comedy, as most of us know, and well, as someone like me that's really into comedy, like, there's different levels to the shit as there is with anything. And some satire can be very crass, and some could be jokey, laughy, whatever the case may be. But when you're talking about real world events, it's always going to be somebody's feelings that's not hurt. And there's always truth behind comedy. But I think, like I said before, it was, you know, just a little overdone, in my opinion. But Chris got paid. And like he said, I'm not going to not go when you about to pay me, when I can get up here and say what I feel. He also ended the show with Fitz and said Black Lives Matter. So, I could commend him on those things. Right.
Ended the show Public Enemy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I could commend those things. He took the platform that he had to do what he wanted. Like, let's be real here. Like, we all have day jobs. I may get on this show in the evening and tell y'all how I feel about my blackness and being black, but let's be true. I'm not wearing my Black Debate shirt to my corporate job where I have to speak with Becky, Pradeep, and fucking Chen. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not happening. Like, I'm not walking around yelling Black Power. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm paid to do something, so I'm there to work. Now, am I going to let you disrespect me at work? No, but like I said, I can't wear my Black Debate shirt or my Black Power shirt or whatever the case may be at work and be like, oh, they're not going to say nothing today. Because that's, you know, that's not going to happen. But, you know.
Right. And if you know, if you do, you got to deal with whatever comes with it. Like, that's the thing. So it's like, you know, you got to do what you got to do, man. You got to eat. And I'm, like I said, it's cool to boycott. But, I mean, what he said about Jada could be said about every black person in that regard. Like, they might have invited people to come and be in the audience for ratings, but clearly they don't want you there for the reason you want to be there, which is to be nominated. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, y'all weren't invited either, so y'all could have stayed home. But let's show them, let's show them, like, nah, we still keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what's up. And, it's good. It's good. So I'm glad that he hosted. I'm glad to see that certain people did show up, because I feel like the certain people who did show up, I feel like they represented well and, spoke well about the situation and stuff like that. But honestly, I don't even care about the Oscars, to be real with you. To be 100, I don't care about the Oscars. I never did. Like, I didn't care when they said that people weren't nominated. Like, I just feel like we all put more focus into our own award shows and stuff like that, and more,
exactly.
We should care more about the, BET isn't owned by, black people anymore anyway, but if we are just going to go that route, when we have these Essence Awards and Vibe Awards and all that stuff, care more about those, because those are the people who really rock with you. So,
exactly. Yeah, I agree 100%. Like I said on the show, last show, I believe, when we were talking about the Grammys or whatever, like, we got to stop expecting awards that were never originally made for us to be made for us. Like, you have to understand, like, now we're asking to be included, which we rightfully so are asking to be included, but this shit was never designed for us. That's why they had to create all new categories for the Grammys for music, and still to this day, no one can understand how... what's the difference between, I think it's like R&B and then like soul, and what, like, there's no hip hop, there's no what, like, all of that shit is jacked up, and they tried to create it for us, but it was never created for us. So, like you said, I think it's definitely something that we need to focus on for ourselves. And I think this is also a great segue to the guest that we have coming on, in which, Keith, I want to let you introduce, since you brought this young lady to our show, and I'm very thankful for you for that, sir.
Miss The Real J Mills is somebody who I've been, I've had the pleasure to meet. She's part of a collective that drove from D.C. to Flint, Michigan, to deliver goods and supplies to the people over there, made news doing that. But even before then, she's a staple in the D.C. area for sure, from poetry to rapping to just her online presence and her opinions on topics. And everything she does it, great. I have to give her credit. Everything she does it great. And I'm really honored to even have met, this sister in real life, and we've done musical work together before and everything like that. But she's an inspiration to me, just seeing her posts and seeing her thoughts and reading, what she has to say about anything pertaining to today's culture and economy and everything. So, please welcome our guest, The Real J Mills. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How
hey,
you doing?
Jay.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you.
No problem. How are you today? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm excited. We're getting ready for our next Flint fundraiser.
Okay.
Gearing up with the week of events this week, and then we have the big event on March 19th. I'm performing tonight at Pure.
Nice. So what time do you go on tonight, just so people can know? What time does the event start, period?
I believe doors are at 8. I should be going on around 9:45.
Okay, so if y'all listen on the area, head on down to Pure Lounge tonight, get you some good music in, and it's for a good cause. So this is Flow for Flint too?
This is actually Hip Hop for Flint, D.C.
Okay.
We are working in solidarity with 46 other cities across the world. London is having an event, Senegal, Vancouver, St. Kitts, as well as, all the metropolitan cities, and Flint. It's being led by a young lady named Queen Yonazda, who's the granddaughter of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And
nice.
She's also a poet working out of Atlanta and all over. I'm just really happy that we've all kind of teamed together to work together for a common goal. There's been a lot of individual people doing a lot of different things, but by coming together, all these cities uniting, we're really able to give an entire neighborhood filtration devices and hopefully stand out from there.
That's beautiful, man. So, I mean, just rewinding a little bit, how did you come about, you know, how did you become part of the collective that did the first trip to Flint? You know, what inspired, I mean, obviously I know what inspired you to do so, but, you know, how did that come about? And when you got there, like, what was the vibe? Because I know we see it on TV, we read, mm-hmm. you know, articles, but once you're in the space, I know that it's totally different. So, you know,
yeah.
Give some light on that.
Well, one thing that I do, I try to take advantage of this double-edged sword that is technology. And information is closer than we think. And when I heard about the Flint situation, I just, you know, got on the Facebooks and was trying to figure out who was doing what. You know, it just seemed unbelievable to me that people aren't able to have access to water. So I reached out to a young woman named Melissa Mays, who was leading the ground efforts, What Are You Fighting For,
mm-hmm.
Is the name of their organization. And she was just speaking to me like woman to woman on a human level, like all of the different things that are the trickle-down effects from them not having the water situation, such as the fact that many grocery stores have closed. And without access
wow.
to grocery stores and other stores and restaurants and food places and things, it's a very dire situation. You're missing more than just the ability to use your tap water. If initially a lot of residents decided to protest by not paying their bill, and so then they cut the water off completely. So you can't even flush your toilets. You can't do a lot of things because you don't have water, period. Then the people who do have water, it's giving them all types of diseases, skin issues, infections. Oh, my God, when I went there and I found out about the women who have been miscarrying since this has
wow.
started because of these levels, like, it is sinister poisoning. It was poisoning to hear it, like, straight up from a person. And this woman was white. So,
yeah, and I saw the interview.
Her video ended up going viral that we took while
yeah,
we were down there
that.
Over, yeah, millions of views. She ended up getting interviewed on the Steve Harvey Show. But it's interesting because, you know, initially they were painting this like, oh, this is happening to the black city of Flint, this 60%
mm-hmm.
Rich, or, I mean, 60% black, 40% poor. They're playing on the fact that the biggest thing that struck me, I've never seen this in D.C., the hoods were very diverse. You don't see that around here. We got white people,
right.
They don't live in Berry Farms. You know, they
yeah.
went in.
They live close enough, but they don't live right there.
They come here to buy drugs, but they don't live there. I don't know where poor
yeah.
white people live, but they don't live where poor black people do. You might have a couple
right.
sprinkled in here and there, maybe, but it was like 50-50 white in the poorest parts of the city, and that was just like, whoa, you know, they're there in the homeless shelters. I mean, we do have white homeless people and black homeless people. I guess that is where they mix, but even in the neighborhood. It was crazy because then that changes the understanding of the numbers. If half the poor population is white, you're saying that 20% of the white people in Flint are poor. If 40% is poverty. But first they told us that Flint was 60% black. So the other thing I saw was that most of the black people, which make up the people with the money, you know, they act like
wow.
they don't care.
If wow.
you have a filtration device, you know, you don't attend a church that's giving out free water, that's your bad.
Wow.
Very apathetic. So to see that, it changed everything. And, I mean, you know, we for long have known that it's not as simple as black and white.
Right.
They want to distract us with that, even though it is a valid thing. There is a race issue, but there's also a class issue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They distract us from the class issue with race.
mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time. All the time. Go ahead, B.
Yeah, and I'm just going to add on to what I was going to say. I think where people get mistaken is, like you said, it's two different issues, but they often coincide. And
yeah.
the matter of the fact is the majority of the poor people in the hoods or whatever the case may be are black. However,
generally,
they exist in white communities as well, because I know for me, until I went to a trailer park, I was like, oh, shit, like, this is like Section 8 for white people. I get in it. Like, poor white people are regarded the same way for the most part as well as how they're treated as far as public assistance and shit like that. Very similar to poor black people, but they're often forgotten because I don't know if America doesn't want us to see that poor white people exist or what it is, but it seems like they're often tucked and hidden away, so we don't know. And, like, in this scenario, like you were explaining, like, until I started to read stuff and watch the town halls and look into more things, like you said, I didn't even realize that, oh, this is affecting white people and black people. Like, this is not only little black people not getting water in their homes. This is an entire community, like you said, not being able to eat, bathe, go to a restaurant, black, white, brown, whatever the case may be. So it's definitely a very, very big issue, and I commend you.
They can't buy diapers.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get a lot of things. Think of all the things we get from grocery stores. What if all you had to do, you had to do all of your shopping from a 7-Eleven?
Wow.
And there are people who, without these Flint situations, live like that. I definitely, you know, D.C., I know what it's like to not be that close to a grocery store. You do everything from your corner store.
Yeah, and I remember just feeling like, you know, when I lived uptown, and I remember we had to, basically my grandma was like, don't drink nothing straight from the tap water. Like, you better boil it, you know, or something. If it don't have no filter or nothing on it, you better not touch it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, this is not the first time
was a big, poisonous. Yeah, and that was a big, you know, if that felt like a big burden, or, you know, to have to do all that. So I can't imagine, like, just as simple as taking a shower. And I think I was reading something today where, you know, people have to shower because you don't want to go around just, you know, funky. So they had to do what they got to do. And people, you know, like you said, were having problems with their skin drying up and scabbing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they're polluting people, you know what I'm saying, just like with no urgency. It just doesn't seem like there's no urgency to change
and
anything.
And murdering.
Yeah, like you said, miscarriages, and I'm pretty sure people just, and they're telling people, it's all right to bathe your kids in this. Man, look, if it ain't good enough to drink, it ain't good enough to bathe, because you know one thing with children, especially the type of child where you are putting them in the tub, they will drink and play in that water. Like, you can't tell them don't do it, because if you tell them they don't do it, they still going to do it. So all of that is just nonsense, and the whole situation is crazy. And I just pray that there's not more cities out there going through that on the low, and I mean to that degree. And I pray that that situation gets handled very, very quickly. And I commend people like yourself who stepped up.
I was going to say, there definitely are.
They've done that. I mean, I've been, you know, you follow my posts. I be on some other stuff.
It's great, though.
But, you know, I've been wondering, in terms of the scope of humanity, what will it take for black people to really realize that this place is set up for us to fail? You know, do we really understand all of the different ways that this battle is being fought against us? Like, it's really serious. But after Katrina, when we didn't, like, they keep provoking us to wake the sleeping giant, and all of a sudden now, 2016, the sleeping giant has awoken. Every day, people are like, oh, man, it really is effed up down here. With Beyonce and Formation and her video, as whatever people may want to say about the song itself, the video was a reset button. Images, a picture's worth a thousand words, followed up with Kendrick and everything that he's doing. Now with this water situation, we are fighting a image of a stereotypical black person that never existed here. You know, we've been fighting this definition that we are just violent by nature, that we are animals, but we know the truth is that those people are putting on these truths about themselves on us. But no matter how many times we try to tell people, it's like they didn't believe us. Somehow they believe this lie that we're these animals and we deserved everything that is happening to us. We deserve to be lynched. We deserve to be killed by these police because rap. But that's a whole nother talk show. What we are doing now with Flint is being the change. And it's just undeniable. You see our government poisoning, the world sees a government poisoning children, and they see people, largely black people, who are coming to the rescue by the thousands and filling the gap. So you can't keep selling this boogeyman story about black people and black young boys and black everybody just being terrible people who deserve to die. Like, we're not human. No, we are so humane. We are kings and queens and royal by blood. It is our duty to take care of our people, and we're showing that right now. It's like a master reset. I love it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate that this is what it's taking, but now people are like, hold up, what's in my food? Maybe I should garden.
It's making people try to be more aware and educated, and that's what I do like about it. I know, you know, homies of mine who I know never, like, I was always looked at weird because, like, when everybody was listening to 3-6, and I love 3-6 now, but as growing up, I didn't. I was always just listening to, like, Common and Tyler Pauly and Dead Prez all the time. And then I would listen to, like, soul music, and I would be listening to, you know, YouTube clips or whatever kind of clips. And my uncle had me hard on Malcolm X, and I would just always be looking at stuff like that. And they used to laugh at me, and, you know, like, are you always trying to be, you know, black power and all this? But I see those same homies now, and they be on it, you know what I'm saying? And they'll be calling me and texting me like, hey, man, you ever heard of this dude? Or you ever read this before? And sometimes I haven't, sometimes I haven't. And it shows me that, you know, like you said, through us being pushed down so far, even further than, you know, we thought we were good. You know, I know
mm-hmm.
I growing up, we thought we were straight. We ain't had to go to civil rights. You know, we came out all right. Things good.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, now you see, it hasn't been good. It never was good. And it's making people more educated and beyond even the slavery aspect of it, and showing people that, you know, we were always kings and queens. You know what I'm saying? That's not to diminish anybody else on this planet, but we were. So don't start your kids. You know, and I tell people all the time, you know, you have the right to your child, but you don't have to start your child with their knowledge of us being slaves. You can start wherever you want. If the schools decide to start them at slavery, then that's on them. But you can teach them from before that, so they understand why situations like that were so detrimental to our culture that we no longer have, that we're trying to build up now. And so hopefully that's what this is doing. It's building more of that unity. It's building more of that culture. And that's why I say it's so beautiful to see people like yourself and, you know, everybody involved. And I know it's not even just black people involved in the flow for fun. You know what I'm
not
saying?
Not at all.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful in itself, too, because, like you said, it's not about color. It's always about class. And I've been preached that since I was a youngin'. It's not about your color. It's about that green. And that's the only color that they really care about, that green, that gold, and whatever. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
It's beautiful what you're doing. We're just going to switch gears for just for a second, because I just want to get people to know you a little bit more. So you are a poet, a lyricist. You are a student, I believe. And so how did you get into all of, you know, the poetry and the lyricism? What age did you start doing it? Like, you know, are you still doing it now? Where can people catch you and all that good stuff?
Hey, too, Bison, you know. Wow, I started writing when I was 9. I remember 3rd grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was random. That's when we first started learning about poetry, and I just loved it. There was a period of my life when I tried to just always talk and rhyme. It got on my mother's nerves so much. So much. Once I figured out that words could rhyme, I was just always in limerick land. But, 3rd grade, I wrote a poem about this girl I didn't like. And it was more like an angry rap, I guess. But when I said it, like, a lot of other people didn't like her either. So they learned the words and kind of tormented her a little bit. Wasn't
so you wrote a 3rd grade diss track.
Right.
I did. It was full of profanity. I got in a lot of trouble for it because somebody with an aftercare teacher caught it. At any rate, after that, people wanted me to write stories about their life. They would, like, tell me what was going on, and I would, you know, write a rhyming tale about it. And It's just expanded ever since then, from writing about other people's life to writing about my own. In high school, with a couple good friends of mine, one of which is Florence Carey. We don't perform too much anymore these days because she's just like a superstar on her own, doing so much. But we started the poetry club, and that's when I started putting together shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then Howard just kind of sealed the deal. For so long, I kind of thought that just being underground was all that poetry could do. I didn't know that people actually recorded CDs. And furthermore, it wasn't until Bar None doing a poem that I realized I sounded good with music. So the whole travel from being a poet, which is where I started, transitioning into being a rapper, and then coming back now to my poetic roots has been quite a journey. But it had to be for me to be who I am today, you know?
Yeah, and I... With you being a female, you know, rapper and artist or whatever, and in today's time especially, do you find it, like, hard to – I know, you know, you're a woman, you know, you're female. Y'all, it's nothing wrong with y'all talking about sex, just like a man would talk about sex. But I know that that's not your general message. That's not your, you know, end-all, be-all. Do you find it to be harder, you know, just to reach – the ears of the masses by doing that, or do you not even care or think about that when it comes to your art?
I stopped caring about what other people thought when I came back to the poetry side of me. I think that's the biggest difference between me as a poet versus me as a rapper. It's like the difference between an artist and an entertainer. Everybody's not both. When you can find your both, that's when you have an icon. And there's nothing wrong with one or the other. If you're an extreme entertainer, you don't write nothing, you're really not that talented, whatever, people love you because you come up with catchy hooks and you got a gimmick and a look, hey, great for you. Because you love the spotlight, clearly. You wake up like this, you go to sleep like this, you're a character. Thank God for the stage, because what would you do with your life? You didn't have it. Great. And then you have other people who are artists, and they're stupid dope, but they don't care that you think they're dope. They don't want to dress. They don't want to be on time. They don't want to practice. They don't want to make art sometimes. Sometimes they do. They're just, they don't do it for anyone else, and they don't care. They don't care if they're just the dopest person you ever heard in their own basement.
Mm-hmm.
Art is because art is, and it will be. So finding that happy medium. As an artist entertainer, I feel like I had to come both, you know, full circle. As a female, you know, we fight this battle. I'm fighting a battle that's been being fought since history started, whenever they took away her story. It was like, shut up, bitch. Anyway,
right.
I don't know how many thousands of years it's been since they knocked us off the pedestal. Maybe we jumped off the pedestal. I don't know. Maybe we wanted to join the men that were holding us up. Anyway, another talk show. Let me go back to the...
I said I'm
going to
tiptoe. I'm a tiptoe around.
Y'all know
now.
Y'all
no,
worship us. It's okay. We worship
us.
Everybody worships
Jay. We're going to have to bring Jay back like once every 3 months, so we can come to these topics. Because, like you said, she definitely has a brilliant mind. I was watching some of her videos, you know, and doing my research, and I was like, we could take one of her videos and dissect it, but an hour and a half ain't enough. So you might have to be a recurring guest. Or you might have to start calling in on the shows and dropping your tidbits here and there, because I definitely appreciate the insight that you have.
Thank you.
Well,
but,
trust and believe, you know, anybody I bring through is going to be, you know, I don't really like, you know, praise a lot of people, because that's just my natural, you know, I'm not a hater, but I'm real hard on that. Like, it takes a lot to impress me. And so anybody I bring through is going to be like that. But with you saying the part about the women and stuff like that not being almost as not being appreciated, you know.
No, it's quite the opposite. Oh, we are highly appreciated. We are feared, though, because we have a superpower. We are infinitely more powerful than our male counterparts. How infinite? It doesn't even matter what we say if we look good. Rappers can be ugly as I don't know what, Aaron.
This is true.
Male rappers, they could be fat, they could be missing teeth, missing an eye, balding. It does not matter.
This is true.
If you are a female artist, But here's the thing, we're walking triple threat. Like, we're automatically going to be the actresses. Everything we wear, people want to buy. Nobody cares where these rappers got their white tees from. They checking for shoes, I guess. But when a woman steps out, oh, where'd she get her earrings, her nails, her eyebrows, her makeup, her this, her that? We are studied and worshipped. It is a real power. It's a thing that is something that men don't even understand, which then puts us into the conundrum of how do you become a female artist that isn't only for females. For some reason with singers, it's okay. Like, men can be a Sade fan, but there's still a limit with that. Like, men can be an Erykah Badu fan, but if they're a Beyonce fan, it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, you're a little sweet, bruh.
You're a Rihanna fan, it's like, oh. I mean, you can like how she look, you can want to smash, but are you going to buy her CD and blast it on a summer day on the block?
Always,
yeah,
now they do that
always
shit alone.
Wanted that growing up. Yeah. I always wondered that growing up, like, why dudes couldn't listen to female singers, but they could listen to dude singers all day. But if you had a chick in the, if you had a female singer in the car, it was just like a no-no. I never understood that.
The only women who really were able to get in had guys with them, you know, like Lil' Kim, when she did Hardcore, she had mad tracks from Junior Mafia. So you don't feel like you're listening to a woman's album. I think that a lot of women do rap about subject matter that is only relatable to women. But when you're able to talk about general subjects, you can have male fans. Men were fans of Eve. They were fans of Foxy Brown. They were fans of Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
It was fans of
but
Saul
a
Papa.
Lot of women, yeah, a lot of women, they don't, they just don't know how to be a woman. You got some types that want to fight the femininity. And, you know, I can dig it. I did that at first. I had my locks at first. I was like a backpacker. I was not wearing no heels, never. I would show up. This is when I was going to school for recording engineering, you know, with mad bars. Then I flipped it, and I took it all the way to the extreme with all kinds of weaves and all types of outfits and mills in her heels all the time.
Yeah, I think as a woman, there's so much more to consider and so much more. You have to be a total package, like you said. With a man, all you have to do is be able to flow. You can look like the bottom of somebody's shoe, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, he's fresh. His shoes are really fresh, but he looks like the bottom of the shoe.
Being
I literally wrote
a
song about it. Can I share it?
Sure,
can you?
Sure.
It's a poem, actually. Fitting.
That's perfect.
This is Women's Day. Okay. This is the diary of a young femme C. See, I don't like that word because I don't call my brothers him C's. But when I speak separation, they define me. The divine me, call her she, known as femininity. Fighting moral enemies, no longer can pretend to be searching for equality. The truth and reality is there's this peculiarity in she. Call her me. I see. It's really bigger than a chick named Nikki. And I don't like to name them, so subliminals won't get me. It's sick. See? It don't matter how sick I can spit. See your face, pretty ass titties. It don't matter if I'm witty. I'm a gimmick. Business meetings always got dick in it. And if I ain't hopping on them, then they gone. Moving on. But I'm strong. I'll so what a label. Get my money long. And on my song, I'm a stunt. Give them what they want. Tell them what you need. Piece by piece. Leak me in these streets. See me on these beats. The game is Helen Keller. Can't hear nor see, but I tell you what is better. I rep the double letter X, nothing less. Through the stress, put me to the test. You know who the best. Chopped and screwed, sounding like a dude. You know who the best. I'm gonna pause right there. It's a long piece.
Yeah, that was nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
I like that.
Man,
happy
to,
International Women's Day, everybody.
Yeah, along with to the website, man. Got the show tonight. But I started off by saying, like, that's the difference. Like, why do I have to be a female rapper when you don't have to say male before you say rapper? Why do
that's
you have
true.
To honor the she? But it's true because, you know, I think the divinity women can come back through hip-hop. That's why there is an active plot to stop it. I was approached when I was 19 and I first started rapping by several major labels who gave me the box Nicki Minaj went ahead and checked yes to. It was one with Interscope. They already had the instrumentals. They had the hooks. the first song was pussy, 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 pussy. I was like, yeah, stop. Y'all need to listen no more beats. This ain't me. I'm just going to stop right there. But he was just telling me that what the industry wants is the next Lil' Kim. They want her to be nastier. They want her to go harder. They don't want another Lauryn Hill. They don't want another Queen Latifah. He was well aware of my righteous raps and what I talked about, but all he wanted, all they wanted, was the freaky stuff. Straight like that. They don't want depth. Men, oh, we can have as many Kendricks as we want. We have all the lyrical men. Women, nah. They're not going to give Rhapsody that type of love. They're not going to show Raw that type of love. L.A., yeah, there's true. So many dope female lyricists, Maimouna. Like, it's just insulting to act like we don't exist because they're traveling all over the world. But there's an active plot to stop us.
That kills me when they're like, there's no women in peace. And I'm like, are you serious? Because I can literally log onto my Instagram right now and give you a smooth 25 in a 90-mile radius. And when I say 25 in a 90-mile radius, those are the good ones out of probably the 50 on here. Like, they are all over. But like you said, they're just not getting the shine, the attention, or any of that because no one's trying to hear that shit. Like, I mean, they were appalled when Beyonce did it. Like, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, hold on. This is like, you woke up like that. Like, that's not what you, formation is not where you're usually at. So people are like, wait, what? Hold on, wait, I'm confused. So I think in all boxes, it's always like, wait, like, what is she doing? Where is she going with it? Like, it's always very different for women trying to find a path other than being sexy, talking about heartbreak, talking about a man doing her doing several men, whatever the case may be. Like, other than that, the box is very, very small and limited to those only willing to do that type of art as far as rap goes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the tide is changing. I hope that with people like Rhapsody, you know, getting a little bit more notoriety, we'll see how it continues. You know, she started to really gain momentum after the To Pimp a Butterfly thing. I mean, hopefully it keeps going in the right direction. And I feel like that about artists in general, just the ones that I love and I find myself liking, they end up disappearing or just not getting to the level in which I feel they can be. And so I often feel like that's just lack of support from the bottom as well as the top. And that's to be the same thing with the females. It's a lack of support from the top of the heads and the labels who have the funding and all that stuff, but also from the bottom where people actually have the power to push and say, yo, this is dope, this is dope. Because if they feel like they can get green out of it, they don't care. You know, but once they start feeling like we can't really get paid off of this, then they really ain't going to care, especially if it has an agenda and a plan that's not against theirs. But if they feel like they can get their money off of it and we push these artists that speak to us, that speak about something, you know, other than being one-dimensional, man or female, you know, we should do that. Because if we're spending $10 to $15 on rappers who, you know, everyone complains all day on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, everyone is just complaining about music. It sucks. There's no good music. There's nothing. And I always get into it. Excuse me. With people and tell them, we live in an information age. You don't have to be limited no more. Back in the day, I had to listen to 95. I had to listen to 93 just to understand what was good. I don't have to do that anymore. I can make my own radio station in the crib. You know what I'm saying? If I choose to pay my little $10 for Apple Music, shout out Apple Music. If I choose to pay that and I can put every little song I ever liked in life on a playlist, and if I find a new artist and search them out and listen to their albums, I can do that. So, and I push and I support these people. I'll buy their stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's needed as well. You know what I'm saying? Just the support from the bottom is totally necessary and needed. So with that being said, if y'all listen, to make sure you go out to Pure Lounge. I think it's all this, right?
Hmm? Yes, today.
It's all this week, right? It's today.
Yes, all this week.
You're there, and then they're having up until Friday?
Thursday, but they're still accepting water cases on Friday as well.
Okay. So go out there and support your support the movement, support your local artists. I know a few of them, and they're quite dope, just like Miss Mills is right here, as you heard just now. So
thank you.
Yeah, we have to.
That's Pure Lounge DC, right?
Yes,
yeah, Pure Lounge DC.
All right,
listening, I'm going to say the address real quick, and then you can go ahead. 1326 U Street Northwest. If you are listening, as Jay said, there will be accepted donations. So 1326 U Street Northwest is where Pure Lounge is located. I'm sorry, Jay, you can't continue what you were saying.
Oh, nah. I was actually about to say the same thing, just the intersection, but you had the actual address. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Google is my friend. I apologize.
Yes, the information age.
Exactly. Exactly.
To the
point.
Right.
So I want to thank you for coming on the show. I'm not kicking you off, but I just wanted to make sure we thanked you before we got out of here, and to see if there anything else that you wanted to talk about. I mean, anything in the news, anything dealing with anything going on. We were talking about the election earlier. We were talking about Miss Rock at the Oscars. You know, is there anything you would like to shed light on? You know, the floor is yours.
Man, I'll just say tune into my Facebook post and whatnot. I stay woke.
Okay.
Give back.
Mm-hmm.
Be the change. Follow
mm-hmm.
the real J Mills. Pass
mm-hmm.
the J. And,
always.
Yeah, I did have a reply for the last topic that we kind of brushed on in terms of what can be holding female artists back, specifically female hip-hop artists.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one thing that plagues most women with jobs, period, or careers, and that's babies.
Very true.
Having a kid can really put the brakes on your music career, whatever it is you do. But it's extra hard when you're a rapper because of just the double standard for how hard it is for, you know, people like you're a mom now. What are you doing rapping? What are you doing at the club? You should be momming somewhere. But
right.
Slowly the tides are turning on that. Shout out to Beyonce, I think, and Kim K, who as much trash as people want to talk about them and their choices, they are really breaking down a door for moms to be sexy and it not be a crime. Because in the very recent past, it was criminal.
This is true.
But, yeah, that was it. Thanks for letting me chip in my two cents and ramble on and around. I really, really love the show. I got to make sure that I always tune in. Y'all were so on point. So on point. I agree with what you said about Chris Rock and the jokes that he laid. I think that he was even surprised that the audience laughed as boisterously
mm-hmm.
and robustly as
yeah,
they did. It was written
on
his face.
They cracked up on that
he was surprised.
Joke.
Yeah, he thought it was going to be silence or uncomfortable. Uh-oh. You know, everything he did was deadpan, bringing out Stacey Dash, you know. He can't control what people laugh at. I think he thought that he was going to troll
right.
the awards by doing jokes that weren't funny. I don't know if there was
mm-hmm.
a sign that said laugh.
Well, see, I didn't get the Stacey Dash thing at all. And I think, you know, I've heard and read people saying that Dave Chappelle had his hand in it, or one of Dave Chappelle's writers had their hand in it, helping him with his, you know, his entire hosting and writing jokes and stuff like that. And it came off like a Chappelle, you know, it came off like something he would have done on the show, you know what I'm saying? Which it probably would have been hilarious on the show. But
mm-hmm.
I guess during that time, it was kind of like, nah. And especially because she goes out of her way to like, to just destroy, you know, any positivity that black people try to do or anything that they try to speak out against. She does her very damnedest to get on that TV and speak down on it. So it's just like, I can't laugh. I can't even laugh with you. I can't even laugh with you. Like, that's how much of an enemy you are to me.
It's funny because it's like, how ignorant is everybody involved to allow that to happen? How dumb is she for really thinking that this is her new job? You know, and she came on stage
mm-hmm.
and said exactly what she needed to say to get paid. Like, girl, happy Black History Month? It was so stupid. Nobody knew they were being punked except for black people who were like, what is she doing here? Bah.
Right. There's like six of them in the audience.
She's the last person on earth that should have anything to say on behalf of black people. And yet, here she is at the Oscars.
Yeah, for me, I thought it was super patronizing, especially coming from the person that said she don't think that there's a reason for Black History Month at all. So I thought that that was super patronizing to have her on the line. But just a side note, before we continue, I just want to say we do have Shalice, our co-host, that's on the line to join the last couple of minutes, I think, to drop a line. Shalice, are you on the line still?
Hello, hello, salutations, are you?
Hey, Lisi, have you heard what we've been talking about Chris Rock? And, you know, or do you have opinions on that since, you know, you're here with us now? We always love to hear your opinions, too.
Okay. So, of course I have an opinion, but first I just want to say hello to Jay. Hi, I'm the third co-host, but I was visiting my granny. And to everyone who asked about my grandmother and who's been sending us all kinds of crazy love and prayers, thank you so much. She's feeling a lot better and inhaling anything that she can get her hands on. Okay?
Amen.
So my opinion on Chris Rock and, I guess, Stacey Dash, because I heard someone talk about how she's crazy as hell, and I definitely agree. Like, she's just a token.
Hey, Lisi, I'm sorry. Just to interrupt you for a second. Your phone is cracking. Can you do me a favor and hang up and call right back? And then you can finish that thought. And I'm going to have Jay finish her thought while you're doing it, please, and thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and log off. I got to get ready for the show. I didn't realize what time it was.
Oh,
got to put on my
Jay
Mills regalia.
Yeah, please go get it. We wish you luck, break a leg, all that good stuff. And please kill the show tonight, and we know you already will do. And thank you again so much for coming with us.
Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Thank
you.
Much appreciation for showing up.
Likewise. Peace, y'all.
Peace.
All right, peace, Trey. All right, Lisi, we have you back on the line, boo?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right, I apologize about that, but now you can finish your thought about Chris Rock.
Okay, can you hear me? Am I clear now?
Yes, we hear you great.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, did Jay leave?
Yeah,
she had a show tonight, so she
had
to wrap up.
A little bit. Yeah, she had a performance in a couple minutes, so she had to go.
Oh, well, peace to you, sister. Sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to her. But, Chris Rock. I wasn't really surprised, but honestly, I felt like with Chris Rock and the Smiths, I could definitely see Chris Rock calling Jada and Will, like, y'all know that I fuck with y'all mad heavy, but they already cut me the check, so I got to drag you, like, a little bit. And that time, because you see that the Smiths, they didn't really have any kind of, like, response to it, kind of, like, laughed it off, like, the jabs that he was taking down. But I don't think that me personally, I couldn't, you know, if you have integrity, then I don't understand why would you even want to do that for money, like, slide somebody. Because they're saying the same thing that you said. And Chris Rock has repeatedly talked about how racist Hollywood is. So I don't understand how he could come at them in any kind of way about wanting to boycott the Oscars.
Yeah, I definitely,
I hated that part. I hated that part. I was with him, and I just hated that part because it was just like you – Yeah, like, I see what you're saying. I never thought about it in that way where he could have called them and be like, yo, you know, I love y'all, but I'm going to get these jokes off. You know what I'm saying? you know what I'm saying? And they like, you know what, go ahead, Blake. You know, do your thing.
Yeah, they just
but,
like, you know, I understood it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, man, but you didn't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have been funny. You could have been poignant. You could have been, you know, on topic without having to go there. You know what I'm saying? So... But, you know, he's a comedian. They take risks. So maybe that's just a risk he took and it didn't work in his favor.
I think that that's something that was probably, that was something that was planned within the Oscar committee or who the producer is to kind of directly address that. and addressed it in a way that made Will and Jada, you know, the butt of the joke. And I just thought that it was just very awkward because it goes back to that whole, like, shucking and jiving shit. Like, I mean, I just didn't understand it. I thought that it was kind of classless. And I thought bringing Stacey Dash up there, it just, like, put the nail in the coon coffin. Like, oh, y'all just up here, like, where's the watermelon? Like, where's the watermelon? Where's the shucking? Mm-hmm. Where's the jiving? Or just up here cooning on some Amos and Andy type shit.
Yeah, because when I, like you said, when I saw that, and like I think I said earlier, like, it just felt like, like I said, there were times I felt like literally every emotion. So, like you said, it was certain parts I was like, this nigga is out here soon. And it was certain parts I was like, high five to you. But that Stacey Dash shit, I think, is where I was like, hold on, wait, though. Because I feel like you're playing us. What you've been trying to do already on national TV, and then Chris Rock gave you the opportunity to do it more. Like, bitch, how dare you wish everybody happy fucking Black History Month on the last day of Black History Month, as well as on a month that you acknowledge we shouldn't even have. Like, I just thought it was super patronizing.
Oh, that was the joke. The joke was Stacey Dash wishing Black people a happy...
Yeah, I got that.
But I think that what she doesn't realize is that white America has no idea who she is except for the fact that she's on Fox News. So I'm sure that she expected some kind of, like, great response, even less, but it's just, like, dead silence. Like, you know, nobody knew what she was talking about because no one in Hollywood really knows who she is.
Mm-hmm. I thought that, yeah. I think that kind of, like you said, made her fall on her face with that one because I think she thought people was going to know who she was. So, like you said, the joke would have had more impact. But the matter of the fact is, no one is, like, the white people are not paying you attention. And we only know what you're doing because of the dumb shit that you're saying.
Yeah, some people just should never talk. And I know that sounds harsh, but it is what it is. Our strengths in life. And some people speaking is not one of theirs. Maybe they can write very well. Maybe inside their brain, the things that they think about are kind of cool. But they should just never say them out loud. And she's one of those people. And I think that that's not anything new, because even if you look at some of her old interviews, you'd be like, she's pretty much an airhead and, you know, whatever. I just think, and I honestly don't even think she believes the stuff she's saying. I just think she needs to be relevant, you know, because she's not a Hollywood hottie anymore. You know what I'm saying? Even as pretty as she is nowadays, for one, an actress, it ain't about being hot no more, because a lot of the African-American arts actresses that are really shining are definitely not shining because of their look. So it's not going to work in her favor there, and she's not a great actress, so it's not working in her favor there. So what you going to do? And I think that's just the stand she's taking, and it's whack, and it's coonery, it's everything that you could think of. But, you know, it hurts my heart because I used to love her, you know?
As a
little boy growing up, hurts my heart.
Why she left Single Ladies, because you know that she left Single Ladies because her and Lisa Ray were beefing. So if she had all of this, if she had this type of personality behind the scenes, then I could see how that could be, you know, how that could lead to conflict. Because
and how she wouldn't get any acting jobs jobs for
her. None of us knew that she was like this until she started being on Fox News. So it's kind of like, you know. But are we going to get into this this Nina Simone thing while we still got a couple minutes left? Because I know that you probably feel very strongly about that.
Yeah, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. I definitely want to talk about it. So, as most, just the background for those of you that don't know, which I think most of you probably do know, last week a trailer came out for the Nina Simone biopic. And we were greeted with an image of Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone in darker makeup, as well as a prosthetic nose to enhance her features so that she looks more like the character. So once that trailer was released, this led to an uproar of Black Twitter and really all of social media. And for me, I thought it was very interesting to watch because I really only shared that opinion with my girlfriend. But it was very interesting to watch the myriad of opinions that I saw from people that I know, some I don't know, you know, some people whose opinions I respect and some whose I don't. But it was just interesting to see. And I'm going to start off with my opinion. Now, I think that there are two things here in which where the issue lies is, first of all, there is a woman of lighter color playing someone of darker color and having her features altered to play that role. And then you have Zoe Saldana doing her job. So I think what happened is a lot of people got mad at Zoe Saldana, but I don't think that's where the issue lies. As she auditioned for a role, she's just trying to get a paycheck. I'm not really mad at her. However, for me, I see a problem or see a problematic that the casting team or the people that cast the movie could not find someone of a darker tone that matches Miss Nina Simone's with a wide nose, or as Beyonce would like to say, with her Negro nose, like Jackson 5 nostrils. Or, like, I just don't understand, for me, why that was not able to be done. So I've heard many arguments like, you know, Lauryn Hill should do it, Uzo should do it, and this person and that person, and with all of them, I agree. And I've also heard the counterpoint, well, how do we know any of those people auditioned for that role and if they wanted it? And which also at the same point, I agree. So this is why I say for me the issue is with the casting, because I feel like there are enough actresses in this world, musicians, singers, whatever you can find, that you could have found someone that you literally did not have to alter their appearance to play the role. So for me it's problematic. And it's not necessarily because people are like, well, she has on blackface. Because for me, it's not, the definition of blackface doesn't apply. We've had different things where artists have worn makeup to do different roles. I just don't see why you can't find a brown girl to do it. So for me, that's where my issue is. I would love to hear how the two of you guys feel about it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say that I feel likewise that it's not about the caliber of actress that she is, because I've seen many movies that Zoe has been in, and I think that she's actually a terrific actress. I don't think that it's about the blackface thing. I think that there's just other I think that this is what Oscar So White is all about. It's the fact that there's so many great actresses of color who could have played that role.
Mm-hmm.
And they over them and chose someone that they had to do all of this weird stuff with her makeup. And when I watched the trailer, I felt like after gaining more information about Nina Simone, especially with the documentary, what happened to Miss Simone, I think that it just kind of like exploits the darker periods of her life instead of highlighting the fact that she was a true artist. You know, I do plan on seeing the movie because I want to see what they bring to light. But for me, it was the characterization. It was the negative characterization and the fact that Zoe doesn't embody someone who I felt like can play who can play such a powerful woman. So that's just my thoughts on it.
I mean, I agree with everything y'all are saying, and I mean, it kind of is just history kind of repeating itself, and you know, lighter skinned people getting the nod is what it seems like. Now, like you said, we don't know who auditioned for the role, we don't know who even turned down the role, but from what I knew about Nina Simone, she was unapologetically brown skinned. You know, she was unapologetically, you know, naps in her hair, you know, thick lips. Like she let it be known, you know, through her music and through her words while on stage. Because I know a lot of times she would get on stage and just talk. I'm not saying just talk, but she would talk a lot. So
it is kind of sad, but and I think because of everything else, like even when you have movies like that, the movie Egypt, I forgot what it's called or whatever the case may be, is like then you have none but white people playing it, you know,
God.
In Africa, you know, and it's like then you come back to things like this, and it's like you had to go through all of this to get her to play the role, blacken her face and try to push her lips out a little bit and all that type of stuff. It just comes across really, really foul. And, you know, much love to her because I would hate to attack her because she decided to try a role where maybe she really passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I understand everyone's backlash. And I even saw, I ain't gonna lie, one thing did make me kind of, like, upset is when I seen a lot of our, you know, Caucasian brothers and sisters who, you know, are with us in the fight as well, you know, but they were kind of jumping in like, what, she's not black enough? I don't get it. And I'm like, you know, you can sit this one out because I'm not going to say it was just Caucasian people, but just when they had that damn 50 Shades of Grey movie and they casted old boy from what's the damn biker, Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
They had a fit. Like, they got that man fired. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, off with his head. Get him out of here. I didn't even get it. But I didn't argue or tell someone why they should feel the way they feel. Maybe they had a reason. I don't know. If it was a biopic about the Beatles and they had John Stamos playing Paul McCartney, I'm pretty sure a lot of Beatles fans would be like, what the fuck? Like, that ain't no goddamn Paul McCartney. Excuse my language. But I just feel that sometimes you just got to sit this one out, sit them out, and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
let us talk to ourselves, the anger we have in our souls, because you just don't get it, and it's fine. It's fine you don't get it. And some of them you do. I'm not going to say all of you don't, but some of you do. But the ones who didn't get it, just sit it out. It's okay. You don't have to understand this one. It's cool.
Well, I just have a closing statement. And it's when it comes to this black enough thing, okay, you have different types of black enough, okay? It's a skin tone black enough, and really, like, are you unapologetically black enough to play Nina Simone? Are you the type of woman who can even, like, really portray that type of fierceness? Can you do it? That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for you to throw shit around the room. I'm looking for you as a woman to kind of take on this character. And I just don't think that, you know, that's who she is. So that was my thing about it. But I understand exactly what you're saying. And I've seen that debate a lot online. And we have to get away from the surface shit and get into the substance. You know, if you don't like something, then have a good reason for not liking it, and then be able to back that up. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, I'm willing to give her the chance to watch it. I've only seen a preview. I cannot determine from the preview whether she will embody the role or not. I would be very interested to see. I personally, of course, as well as most of us, don't know Nina Simone. She's not from our generation, so what I know is based off the things that I've seen, a lot of it from her clips and what happened to Miss Nina Simone. So I'll be very excited to see that. And I also just want to say, like, when comparing the two or referencing the two, like, let's just be clear, the What's Happened to Miss Nina Simone documentary was backed by our family and approved, and it also was an Oscar-nominated documentary. That's one thing I learned watching them damn Oscars that I did not know. That documentary was nominated for an Oscar, and it was amazing, rightfully so. But it'll be interesting to see. Like kind of Keith said, I definitely do think we are bigger fish to fry than that shit. At the end of the day, they're going to continue to make movies that we don't like with the people that cast, whatever the case may be. Like, there are people that are looking at movies that, whether the character is white, black, or whatever, they're like, I don't think that person embodies who it was supposed to be. So I'll be interested to see what it is and where it goes. But that's kind of my final thoughts on that. I just want to thank everyone for listening in tonight. We are going to wrap the show up a little early this evening, as Jay is gone and we all have, you know, the world to conquer and all that good stuff. So I want to say thank you to everybody joining in. Thanks again to my co-host. I'll let y'all drop a line or a last comment if y'all have any news or announcements as well, guys.
Well, just thank everybody for listening in. I want to thank our guest, Jay Mills, again for her words and, you know, everything she brought. And just, you know, for everybody out there, keep the peace, keep fighting a good fight, and love is love.
Okay, so I just want to say good night to everyone. I don't have any announcements tonight because I'm too tired to have announcements. But I'm definitely going to catch the archives so I can hear what Jay had to say. And we'll see you back here next time.
All right, y'all. Peace, love, and have a good night. We'll catch you in 2 weeks, same night, 7 p.m. Check our Facebook page for updates and information. Have a good night, y'all.
Good night. Love, Black Power.